On March 17, 2020, Governor Newsom issued Executive Order N2920 related to the COVID-19 pandemic. The executive order allows state bodies covered by the Brown Act to hold public meetings via teleconferencing. The public is encouraged to participate in the meeting telephonically by dialing the conference line listed above and may submit written comments for private consideration to board members. Comments can be submitted to vmendoza@workforcehs.org. Public comment on the day of the meeting can also be given during the public comment section of the meeting agenda. Reasonable accommodation will be provided for any individual with a disability. Please see the accommodations notice. State law SB 126, meeting will be audio recorded and posted on the charter school's website. And just as a reminder, please place your phones on mute until such a time as you are presenting or asked to speak so that we can cut back on the background noise. And then addressing the board, please announce your full name first. Be sure to speak clearly. We'll start off with opening items, and I will call this meeting of Orange County Workforce Innovation High School, operated by Western Educational Corporation, a California nonprofit public benefit corporation, for Tuesday, June 8, 2021, at 12 noon, to order. And we will start with a roll call. Michael Adams is here. Claudette Beck?
Here.
Frank Lucasa?
Here.
We are all present and accounted for and do have a quorum for the meeting. Start out with the Pledge of Allegiance. Frank, will you please lead us in the pledge? And everyone else, please stay on mute.
Yes, thank you, Michael. Please place your right hand on your heart. Ready? Begin. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, indivisible, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Sorry about that, folks.
Thank you, Frank. Staff introductions, corporate officers.
Good afternoon, President Adams. This is Jeff Brown, Chief Executive Officer.
Thank you, Jeff. And school staff.
Julie Butta, Area Superintendent.
Thank you, Julie.
Dana Heinbuck, Assistant Principal.
Thank you, Dana.
This is Jeff Martineau, Vice President, Charter Relations.
Thank you, Jeff. And school legal counsel.
Adam Miller, attorney for the school.
Thank you, Adam. And advisors who are supporting agenda items or presenting.
Hi, Mr. Adam. This is Geeta Sharifi, CFO with LLA.
Thank you, Geeta.
Hi, this is Michelle Lopez. Sorry about that. Hi, it's Michelle Lopez, counsel with LLAB.
Thank you, Michelle. And any other staff who wish to introduce themselves at this time? Hearing none, we'll move on to item E. May I hear a motion to approve the agenda for the June 8, 2021 regular public meeting of the Board of Directors?
Frank Picasso, I make a motion to approve the agenda.
Thank you.
Claudette Beck, I'll second that.
Thank you. Any further discussion? Roll call vote. Michael Adams is aye. Claudette Beck?
Aye.
Frank Lucasa?
Aye.
That passes with 3 yes votes. Item F. May I hear a motion to approve the minutes of the May 20th, 2021 regular public meeting of the Board of Directors?
Frank Lucasa, I make a motion to approve item F.
Thank you.
Claudette Beck, I'll second that.
Thank you. Any further discussion? Roll call vote. Michael Adams is aye. Claudette Beck?
Aye.
Frank Lucasa?
Aye.
And that passes with 3 yes votes. Item 2, consent agenda. All items listed under the consent agenda are considered by the board to be routine and consistent with approved policies and practices of the charter school. The board will be asked to approve all of the consent agenda items by a single vote unless requested by a board member to be discussed and considered for action separately. We have 2 consent agenda items. Number 1, the board will be asked to approve the revised Title IX harassment, intimidation, discrimination, and bullying policy. And number 2, the board will be asked to accept the uniform complaints report for the 2020-2021 school year with 0 complaints received. Is there any board member who would like a consent agenda item pulled for further discussion at this time? Hearing none, I'll hear a motion to approve consent agenda items 1 and 2.
Frank make a motion to approve consent agenda items 1 and 2. Thank you.
Put it back. I'll second that.
Thank you. Any further discussion? Roll call vote. Michael Adams is aye. Claudette Beck?
Aye.
Frank Lucasa?
Aye.
And that passes with 3 yes votes. Item 3, public comment. At this time, members of the public may address the board on any item within the subject matter jurisdiction of the board, whether or not the item is on the agenda. If you would like to participate in public comment, you must have signed in before the commencement of the meeting. Also, our teleconference line is open to members of the public who wish to participate in public comment. The time allotted for presentation will not exceed 3 minutes, except in the case where a member of the public utilizes the translator, in which case the time allotted will not exceed 6 minutes. The total time allotted for public comments will not exceed 18 minutes per agenda item or 10 minutes for non-agenda items. In accordance with the Brown Act, no action may occur at this time, but it is the board's prerogative to hold a brief discussion, provide information to the public, provide direction to staff, or schedule a matter for a future meeting. Are there any members of the public on the line at this time who would like to make comment? Hearing none, were there any written comments presented to the board prior to the meeting?
Hi, this is Shelley Sands reporting that there were no members of the public who submitted written comments.
Thank you, Shelley. Moving on to item 4. 4A, Area Superintendent Update, and that's Julie Parra.
Good afternoon, President Adams and board members Lucasa and Beck. I'd like to take this time to update the board on the school's activities since our last board meeting. On June 2nd, we hosted our drive-through graduation in Anaheim, where the graduates were able to walk the stage in front of their loved ones. It was a heartfelt ceremony, and I wanted to take this opportunity to acknowledge our staff for all of their hard work and dedication throughout this year. They never gave up on their students. I'd also like to thank our board secretary, Claudette Beck, for signing our agreement with the Orange County Department of Education. We should be receiving the signed agreement this week from the Orange County Department of Education. As the outlook on COVID in Orange County continues to improve and due to increasing vaccinations, we are working on the expansion of our on-site support for students. Our Learning Center has increased access as quickly as guidelines have shifted, and we are keeping all stakeholders informed of such changes. We plan on opening our doors to have students return in-person instruction starting July 1st. Although we have not completely returned to pre-pandemic operations, we're moving in the right direction and excited for each step along the way. We're diligently working to finish our assessments for the NWA and LPAC, and I will be providing a more detailed analysis of our testing data during our August board meeting. Yesterday, a few staff members participated in the Learn for Life Trek Wellness Retreat, where they were able to learn more about resilience programs that we can implement with both students and staff, such as restorative justice practices, healing from collective trauma, and meditation through heart math. On May 5th, Learn for Life hosted a virtual leadership development conference. Leaders from Orange County Workforce Innovation High School attended a session with John Gordon, author of The Energy Bus and The Power of Positive Leadership. He presented on the power of positivity and showed how positive leaders create great teams through connection and caring and how to stay positive even when things are hard. We also attended a session with Jocko Wolken, author of Extreme Ownership. Jocko shared his experience in leading through difficult and dangerous times by focusing on relationships and shared ownership. We are thankful to our network of schools for coming together to provide an excellent day of learning, and we're excited for more opportunities like this in the future. Additionally, all staff will participate in the PLC launch party June 23rd and 24th. Dr. Ernie Mendez and Dr. Victor Rios will be the keynote speakers. The regional professional learning community's focus will be inquiry-based, data-driven, ongoing, and collective professional learning experience scheduled for 2 hours each learning period in regional Java-like teams where teachers and staff members learn from the data and each other to reflect upon improved practices to see improved outcomes and results. This concludes my area superintendent report. Thank you.
Thank you. Any questions or comments from the board? Hearing none, we'll move on to item B, WIOA update. Julie?
Yes, thank you. So currently there are 16 students enrolled in WIOA Intensive Case Managed Program, 19 WIOA grads to date, and Anaheim Workforce Connection Youth Committee approved partnership. So we're currently starting the MOU process with them. Lastly, we're working with the Department of Rehabilitation on 2 opportunities. First, to review their student services program with the curriculum team to see if we can give student professional skills credits for completing it. Secondly, to become part of a new program where students would receive additional funding and support for vocational training. Thank you.
Thank you. Any questions or comments from the board? Hearing none, we'll move on to item C, finance update. Gita Shreve.
Thank you, Mr. Adams. This is Gita with LLAC. So on the finance update, this section, I only would like to refer you to page PDF pages. Actually, it's only page 33. It only reflects the update on the Harmony Financial area for the revolving line of credit. So if you look at that page, it's just for your reference only. It's just a resource updated as of April 30th, 2021. So you can see what the balance is for the line of credit, how much money the school has borrowed, the interest rate, the extended line of credit that the board has approved. So all the information that you need to ever refer to is on this page, and we'll report this on a monthly basis. So that concludes my section. If there's any questions, I'll be happy to respond. Thank you.
Thank you. Any questions or comments from the board? Hearing none, we'll move on to item D, report on mathematics placement results. Julie Parra.
Yes, so the California Mathematics Placement Act of 2015 required our board to adopt a fair, objective, and transparent mathematics placement policy before the beginning of the 2016 school year. Our policy was adopted in 2016 with minor revisions approved to the policy in 2020. The policy addresses student entering ninth grade and includes a number of required elements to ensure equity in student achievement, including considering multiple academic measures and providing an annual report to the governing board. For the 2020-2021 year, our math placement for ninth graders fell into three categories. 11.11% of ninth grade math students placed in remedial math courses, 83.33% of ninth grader math students placed in Algebra 1 grade level course, 5.56% of ninth graders math students placed in Geometry or Algebra 2, and that's above grade level course. Despite the challenges presented from the pandemic, we're pleased to report this year that the majority of ninth grade students enrolled in mathematics courses made progress and none were held back. We will continue to evaluate this data and report to the board next year, pursuant to the board's policy.
Thank you. Any questions or comments from the board? Hearing none, we'll move on to item E, LCFS Local Indicators Report, Julie Parra.
Sure. Yes, I'd like to direct your attention to pages 35 and 46 of your board packet for a copy of the LCFS Local Indicators Report. All schools in California are required to measure and report on key local indicators, which is based on five of the LCFS state priorities. We use the self-reflection tool provided by the CDB to determine if the performance standard was met or not met. The results will be uploaded to the dashboard this fall. This year, the CDE changed the process from reporting these throughout the year to requiring them to all reported to school boards at the same time the LCAP is adopted. The good news is that we met standards in all areas for the following state priorities. One, appropriately assigned teachers access to curriculum aligned instructional materials and safe, clean, and functional school facilities. Met. Two, implementation of state academic standards. Met. Three, parent engagement. Met. Six, school climate. Met. Access to a broad course of study. Priority one is appropriately assigning students access to curriculum, instructional, and safe, clean, functional school facilities. We had no teachers misassigned. Our students had access to quality instructional materials throughout the year. All the sites received highest rating of good repair. Implementation of state academic standards, priority two, we increased our implementation of state-based curriculum and we earned a high score this year. Each year we see growth in the curriculum frameworks, instructional program, and professional development. Parent engagement. The experience with the school and a few of their quotes are included in this report. They rate the school on a scale of 1 to 5 in three key areas: building relationships between school staff and families, building relations for student outcomes, and seeking input for decision-making. Parents praise the school and its teachers for being welcoming, helpful, effective in communicating, and building relationships and partnerships. School climate. The state mandates that we ask students about their sense of safety and connectedness. Each year, we report student survey results. This year, the pandemic had a significant impact on the results, especially how connected students feel. The decrease shows how important our face-to-face interactions for our students. Number seven. Access to a broad course of study is important that all students have equal access to essential courses. State Priority 7 requires this report on access to courses as outlined in Ed Code 51220. We use data from the Student Information System to examine enrollment in automobile driver education, English development courses, and intervention courses. The data analysis shows that all of our students who are English learners, low-income, foster, and special education have access to all courses required for broad course of study as defined in education code. And that concludes my report.
Thank you. Any questions or comments from the board? Hearing none, we'll move on to item F, annual IRS Form 990, return of organization exempt from income tax, and the California return for 2019 as filed. Edith Creasy.
Thank you, Mr. Hagam. So this is, again, an information item on the board agenda. I just wanted to let the board know that you all received the 990 prior to the filing. So the 990 form was completed and filed timely. So just wanted to let the board know that. Thank you.
Thank you. Any questions or comments from the board? Hearing none, we'll move on to item five, public hearing. I'd like to request a motion to open the public hearing.
Frank Bucasa, I make a motion to open the public hearing.
Thank you.
Carter Beck, I'll second that.
Thank you. Any further discussion? Roll call vote. Michael Adams is aye. Claudette Beck?
Aye.
And Frank Lucasta?
Aye.
That passes with 3 yes votes. The board will now hold a public hearing to solicit the recommendations and comments of members of the public regarding the budget overview for parents and the local control accountability plan, LCAP, for the 2021-2024 school year. The public hearing is now open as of 12:17 p.m. The board has allotted 30 minutes for the public hearing. Members of the public shall have 3 minutes each to address the board during the public comment section of this hearing. The board may extend this time upon majority vote. The board will first hear a presentation on the budget overview for parents and the local control accountability plan, LCAP, from Julie Parra.
Yes, please refer to pages 61 through 161 of the board packet as you move through the public hearing. The budget overview for parents includes information on the local control funding formula revenues, supplemental and concentration grants, and state funds. The budget overview for parents demonstrates to the public and parents that school directed its funds in 2020-2021 towards increasing or improving service and meeting the needs of school community impacted by COVID-19, while also directing funding for its high needs students such as low-income English learners, foster, and homeless students. On page 61, you'll see the projected revenue chart, which explains the projected revenue for the school year by each fund source. As mentioned before, this takes into account LCFS funds with both supplemental and concentration grants and local, state, and federal funds. The chart not only lists the amount from each funding source, but also the percentage of total revenue for that source. The total revenue for the school is projected to be $4,433,541, of which the vast majority at 79% is from LCFS funding, 12% from state funds, and the rest from local and federal funds. On page 63, you'll see a chart for the budget expenses in the local control accountability plan. The total estimated budget expenditures for Orange County Workforce Innovation High is $4,392,513. Of that, $4,368,313 is tied to the actions and services in the LCAP, and $24,200 is not included in the LCAP. The school team has been hard at work reflecting on the progress made towards our LCAP and LCP goals during the 2020-2021 school year. On page 66 of the packet, you'll find a reflection on goal one, increased student retention. Implementation of several of the actions and services to achieve the goal of increasing school retention was challenging in the 19-20 school year due to the closure of schools in accordance with CDC and local health organizations' guidelines. The inability for our educational program to provide in-person instruction and academic support was a challenge. However, the increase of our retention rate from 74.6 to 78.3 exemplifies the successes of our program in pivoting to quickly develop and implement a robust, highly effective virtual model for distance learning. On page 71, goal 2 is listed to increase credit completion. Challenges that presented themselves in the course of the 19-20 school year included the abrupt closure of Orange County Workforce Innovation High School's campus, the sudden shift from in-person instruction model to virtual learning model, and unrelenting impact of COVID-19 related hardships on our student population. All of these challenges significantly impeded the school's ability to support students through the completion of credits. Despite these significant obstacles, the credit completion average only dropped from 2.91 to 2.83. Our team maintained 100% highly qualified teachers who were successfully able to provide continued high-quality instruction to students once our distance learning model was fully fleshed out. Another implication of school closures in the spring 2020 semester was the interruption of the LPAC testing window. English learners who must demonstrate the proficiency by earning a passing score on their LPAC exam in order to be classified were neither able to participate in the test at the regular scheduled testing appointment. The challenge significantly impacted Orange County Workforce Innovation High School's EL reclassification rate in the 2019-2020 school year, as evidenced by the decline from 18.6 in 2018-2019 to only 7% in 19-20. Goal 3, on page 75, demonstrates successes in progressing towards the goal of improving students' computer literacy can be found in the increased number of students enrolled in at least one online class. Indeed, the number of students enrolled in online course more than tripled from 18-19, while only 49 students have been enrolled in an online class, to 2019-2020, 165 students enrolled in the online class. This year, our staff, students, and parents have grown tremendously in utilizing a digital platform to engage in communication learning, including tools like Canvas and Google Classroom. Goal 4 on page 78, improving college and career readiness, explains the 19-20 school year challenge, which included the school closures, which presented a new set of difficulty participating in CTE courses, which are implicitly hands-on, collaborative, and project-based. Participation in CTE courses decreased in 19-20 as a result of school closures, but a large group of students, 69, were able to complete coursework in a CTE. For goal 5, increased stakeholder involvement, please turn to information beginning on page 82. The 19-20 school year brought many challenges related to distance learning and a deeply perceived disconnection between students and schools. Socially distanced posed challenges to holding events in person, and virtual alternatives to live events were not as well attended. This is possibly due to the lack of training and familiarity of parents and families with online platforms for virtual events. Another challenge was undoubtedly the hardship felt by students who struggled through personal circumstances changes, such as the diagnosis of COVID in themselves or a family member, or the loss of employment of themselves or a family member, mental and wellness concerns such as anxiety and depression, the loss of a loved one, or of housing. These severe circumstances led some families to reprioritize their time and effort to focus on more fundamental needs than education, and parents as well as students were less responsive to communication from school. Despite these challenges, participation stakeholders revealed 2019-20 that 96% of students felt safe at Orange County Workforce Innovation High School, and 86% participated in the survey felt connected to the campus. The annual update for the 2020-2021 learning continuity and attendance plan begins on page 85. Each section of the plan shows the actual expenditures for each of the categories in the LCP. The document shows how money was allocated for the site for resuming in-person instruction to support students with technology needs associated with distance learning and develop our staff in the areas of remote instruction and social emotional learning support in response to the COVID-19 pandemic crisis. After reflecting on LCAP and LCP, the team has been working hard to complete the cycle of inquiry and prepare the LCAP for the 2021-2024 school year. With input from our parents, students, staff, and community, Orange County Workforce Innovation High School is excited to present the plan to the board and community members in attendance today, beginning on page 104 of your packet. We shared 4 LCAP goals with the board at our April meeting: increased academic progress, increased skills for college and career readiness, increased student retention, and increased stakeholder engagement. We then work with our stakeholders to identify specific action steps for each goal and the finance team to allocate funds to support these pursuits. A breakdown of the budget items is available in your board packet starting on page 131 through 134. We are excited to launch into the new LCAP cycle as we're returning to in-person learning. I'd like to thank Ms. Jamie Lambert, Regional Instructional Specialist, for her support with developing the LCAP. I'd like to take this opportunity to ask for any questions or comments from the board or public may have on this
plan. Thank you. Any questions or comments from the board?
Hi, Julie. This is Frank Picasso. Just a quick question on goal three, where we have the goal not met of online course completion rate increase 62.38%. Is that attributed to just the impact of the social distance learning, or is it resource related, or what's your take on that?
I would say it's a combination of both. Thanks for that question, Frank. Just getting the technologies in and then that transition and the social emotional aspect of students that really hit hard. And, you know, you can see some of our data decrease a little bit, but we're bouncing back and we're looking forward to being full time come July 1.
Got it. Thanks. Thanks, Julie. Appreciate it.
Thank you. Any other questions or comments from the board? Hearing none, the board will now solicit recommendations and comments from members of the public on the budget overview for Parents Plan. Are there any members of the public on the conference line who wish to offer comment at this time? Hearing none, are there any members of the public who submitted written comment to the board?
This is Shelley Sams here to report that there were no members of the public who submitted written comment.
Thank you. At this time, we'll request a motion to close the public hearing.
Frank Picasso, I make a motion to close the public hearing.
Thank you.
Claudia Beck, I'll second that.
Thank you. Any further discussion? Roll call vote. Michael Adams is aye. Claudette Beck?
Aye.
Frank Picasso?
Aye.
That passes with three yes votes. The public hearing is now closed as of 12:27 p.m., and we will move on. Action items, item six. The board will be asked to approve Michael R. Adams to serve on the board of directors for the term July 1st, 2021 through June 30th, 2022. May I hear a motion?
Claudia Beck, I'll make a motion to approve Michael Adams to serve on the board.
Thank you.
The next few years.
Thank you.
Frank Picasso, I'll second that.
Thank you. Any further discussion? Roll call vote. Michael Adams abstains. Claudette Beck?
Yes.
Frank Picasso?
Aye.
And that passes with two yes votes. Item B. The board will be asked to approve Claudette Beck to serve on the board of directors for the term July 1st, 2021 through June 30th, 2022. May I hear a motion?
Frank Picasso, I make a motion to approve action item 6B.
Michael Adams will second. Any further discussion? Roll call vote. Michael Adams is aye. Claudette Beck?
Aye.
You need to abstain, Claudette.
Oh, I'm sorry. I abstain.
Thank you. Frank Picasso?
Aye.
That passes with two yes votes. Item C. The board will be asked to approve Frank Picasso to serve on the board of directors for the term July 1st, 2021 through June 30th, 2022. May I hear a motion?
I'll make a motion.
Thank you. And I will second. Michael Adams second. Any further discussion? Roll call vote. Michael Adams is aye. Claudette Beck?
Aye.
And Frank Picasso?
I abstain.
Thank you. And that passes with two yes votes. Item D, the board will be asked to reauthorize the officers of the corporation to award discretionary incentives to employees at various sundry times, and that's Julie Parra.
Yes, this is a reauthorization of practice that's currently in effect. It will allow incentives that are discretionary and will be turned based on current budget and financials of the school.
Thank you. Any questions or comments? Hearing none, may I hear a motion to approve action item 6D.
Frank Picasso, I make a motion to approve action item 6D.
Thank you.
Claudette Beck, I will go ahead and second that.
Thank you. Any further discussion? Roll call vote. Michael Adams is aye. Claudette Beck?
Aye.
And Frank Picasso?
Aye.
That passes with three yes votes. Item E. board will be asked to approve the local control funding formula, LCFF, for school year 2021-2022, which drives the primary source of funding for the charter school, and that's Gita Sharifi.
Hello, Mr. Adams. This is Gita with LLAC. So the local control funding formula, as you mentioned, it determines the funding for the charter school. It creates funding targets based on students' characteristics. The LCFF calculation is the largest source of unrestricted revenue, and it's essential to budget and LCAP development of the school. For fiscal year 2022, the LCFF funding formula will provide a total of $3,501,053 of revenue. This total includes a base funding that depends exclusively on ADA by grade span of $2,637,348 or 75.3% of the total LCFF funding, and a supplemental and concentration funding of $863,705 or 24.7% of the total LCFF funding that is determined by number of pupils that the school serves, as Julie mentioned, that are identified as low-income, foster children, English learners, or homeless. That concludes my section, and if there's any questions, I'll be happy to respond. Thank you.
Thank you. Any questions or comments from the board? Hearing none, may your motion to approve action item 6E.
Frank Lucasa, I make a motion to approve action item 6E.
Thank you.
Claudette Beck, I'll go ahead and second that.
Thank you. Any further discussion? Roll call vote. Michael Adams is aye. Claudette Beck?
Aye.
Frank Lucasa?
Aye.
And that passes with 3 yes votes. Item F, the board will be asked to approve the Education Protection Account, EPA, spending determinations, and that's Gina Shreepy.
Thank you. So the EPA funding is through the California Department of Education is a state aid, is a component of the school total LCFF entitlement. As shown on the budget report, if you refer to your PDF pages 48, that's where the budget starts, but the EPA funding is reflected on page 52 of the form 62 of the budget report. That's object code AD12 on that page. For the current year, the school will receive EPA revenue of $60,030. For next fiscal year, 21-22, the estimated EPA revenue is based on the latest LCFF calculator, and it's estimated at $52,448, and all the funds will be spent on instructional expenditures, that's function code 1000. So that concludes my report. If there's any questions, I'll be happy to discuss. Thank you.
Thank you. Any questions or comments from the board? Hearing none, I'll hear a motion to approve action item 6F.
Frank Lucasa, I make a motion to approve action item 6F.
Thank you.
Caught it back. I'll go ahead and second that.
Thank you. Any further discussion? Roll call vote. Michael Adams is aye. Claudette Beck?
Aye.
And Frank Lucasa?
Aye.
And that passes with 3 yes votes. Item G, the board will be asked to approve the budget for the 2021-2022 fiscal year, and that's Julie Parra and Gita Sharifi.
Yes, each year the school must prepare and submit a board-approved annual budget to the charting authority and the county superintendent of schools. The budget for the 21-22 school year is a financial protection based on the school's projected enrollment in ADA, which determines the projected revenue and projected expenditures that are based on school planning of instructional programs, staffing, supplies, instructional materials, and services to students. I'd like to bring back Gita Sharifi to provide a presentation on the school's budget.
Thank you, Julie. So the preparation of the Orange County Workforce Budget included several changes to the school funding rates due to adjustments to the state budget in the recent May revision, Governor's May revision, and additional funds coming from COVID relief funding. The budget template, Form 62, is on pages 48 to page 50.
of your PDF packet. The funding projections for next fiscal year include COLA increase of 5.07% to the LCFF funding rate compared to the prior year. This power COLA is a combination of a restoration of a 2.31% COLA from fiscal year 2021 that was set at 2.0 last fiscal year, plus a 1.7% COLA for fiscal year 21-22, plus an additional boost to the base rate with a compounded total of 5.07% for fiscal year 21-22. Projection for fiscal year 21-22 also includes additional one-time revenue from Expanded Learning Opportunity Grant, or ELO, that will bring additional funds to cover learning gaps resulted from distance learning during the pandemic. Now we're going to review budget and how it addresses these matters in the report, and that's your Form 62. The Orange County workforce is projecting an ADA of 262 for the next fiscal year. This projection shows a decrease of 38 ADA compared to the current year, funding ADA of 300. This decrease will cause a reduction in revenue in most ADA-based funding sources compared to prior year. Revenue from LCFF sources is projected to decrease from $3.7 million to $3.5 million. This comes from a combination of decrease in funding ADA of 12% and an increase in funding rate of 5.07%, showing a total decrease of 7.4% in LCFF funds. Federal funds show an increase of 136%, from 29,000 to 70,000, coming from a combination of a small increase of federal debt funds and the addition of new Title I funds, which is 38,000, that the school will start receiving next fiscal year. The exact amount of the Title I is $38,757, and Judy will discuss that later on the agenda. Other state revenue is projected to increase by 460% from $51,000 to $287,000 from a combination of a reduction in state Fed funds and lottery funds due to the reduction in projected ADA. Similar levels of mandated block grant funding, as this funding is based on prior year ADA, an additional one-time revenue of $287,000 coming from the Expanded Learning Opportunity Grant, or ELO. Lastly, the school is projecting additional local revenue of $340,000 coming from interest revenue from opportunity from apportionment, that's $3,000, and mostly from forgiveness of PPP loans, which is $337,000. Roughly that the school expects to receive during the next fiscal year. However, the PPP loan forgiveness is contingent upon SBA approval. The revenue projected for fiscal year 21-22 will be $4.4 million, an increase of $305,000 or 7% compared to the current fiscal year. On the expense side, the budget is projecting a total of a total expenditure of almost $4.4 million. It reflects an increase of 14% in salaries and benefits from $2.3 million to $2.6 million due to an increase in teachers and instructional support staff. Budgeted purchases decreased from $383,000 to $214,000. Due to a combination of increased expenditures in student supplies and a reduction in expenditures in equipment. Budget for operating expenses increased from $1.1 million to $1.4 million and includes increase of expenditures in travel, conferences and trainings, and instructional and professional services. The school is budgeting for an excess revenue of $41,000 for fiscal year 21-22. This excess revenue and the current year-end projected net position of $719,000, the school will end up fiscal year 21-22 with a projected net position of $760,000, which is 17.3% of the total budgeted expenditure. Also, the school is prepared for cash deferrals that will take place in June of 2022. This deferral will cause a delay of approximately 3 weeks in payment of June's apportionment, which will be covered with the school's cash resources.
school leaders, with the support of the finance team, continue to monitor cash flow on a weekly basis to make sure that the school meets all cash needs and follows the budget plan and remains fiscally sound. And that concludes my report. If there's any questions, I'll be happy to respond. Thank you.
Thank you. Any questions or comments from the board?
Yes. Hi, Gita. This is Frank Lucasa. I did have one question that was on page 54, caught my eye. It's the line item under all other local revenue. There's a significant jump from 2020-2021 actuals to the 2021-22 budget. What is that comprised of, and what's behind that jump in revenue there?
Sure. So that's a one-time PPP loan that the school is anticipating to receive. So it's budgeted in that line item. So once the school, applies for forgiveness, if they are forgiven, if SBA approves, then it'll reflect as a grant under local revenue.
I got it. Okay, great. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Any other questions or comments from the board? Hearing none, may I hear a motion to approve action item 6G?
Frank Lucasa, I make a motion to approve action item 6G.
Thank you.
Carter Beck, I will second that.
Thank you. Any further discussion? Roll call vote. Michael Adams is aye. Claudette Beck?
Aye.
Frank Lucasa?
Aye.
That passes with 3 yes votes. Item H. The board will be asked to approve the budget overview for parents and the local control accountability plan, LCAP, for the 2021-2024 school years, and that's Julie Parra.
Yes, during the public hearing, I shared the budget overview for parents and LCAP for 2021 through 2024. At this time, I recommend the board approve the plan.
Thank you. Any questions or comments from the board? Hearing none, may I hear a motion to approve action item 6H?
Frank Lucasa, I make a motion to approve action item 6H.
Thank you.
Write it back, I'll second that.
Thank you. Any further discussion? Roll call vote. Michael Adams is aye. Claudette Beck?
Aye.
Frank Lucasa?
Aye.
And that passes with 3 yes votes. Item I. The board will be asked to approve the school's application for Title I federal funds and submit the federal addendum to receive Title I funds for the 2021-2022 fiscal year. Julie Parra.
Yes, Orange County Workforce Innovation High School is interested in applying for additional funds through the Every Student Succeeds Act, commonly known as Title I funds. In 1965, the federal government began providing additional funding for disadvantaged pupils. Schools received the funds based on the number of students who qualify for free and reduced lunch. The exact amount that the school will receive next year will depend on the amount allotted to the state of California in the next few months. The federal addendum included in your board package starting on page 151 completes the template provided by the California Department of Education and is the first step in our application process. It describes the capacity in which the school has to meet federal requirements that accompanies the funding. We can use the funds to upgrade programs to support students with greatest need, including intervention programs, small group instruction, English learner support, tutoring, counseling, reading and math programs, technology, and parent engagement. We are recommending the board approve the school's application for Title I funds with final decision-making authority delegated to the area superintendent and corporate officers to submit the federal addendum to receive Title I funds for the 2021-2022 fiscal year.
Thank you. Any questions or comments from the board? Hearing none, may I hear a motion to approve action item 6I.
Frank Lucasa, I make a motion to approve action item 6I.
Thank you.
Claudia Beck, I'll second that.
Thank you. Further discussion? Roll call vote. Michael Adams is aye. Claudette Beck?
Aye.
Frank Lucasa?
Aye.
That passes with 3 yes votes. Item J, the board will be asked to approve the consolidated application process and submission for all reports required for the 2021-2022 school year. And that's Julie Farah.
Yes, so the consolidation application, or CONAP, is used by the California Department of Education, CDE, to distribute categorical funds from various federal programs to county offices, school districts, and direct-funded charter schools throughout the California. Annually, from mid-May to the end of June, each local educational agency using the consolidated application and reporting system submits a spring release of the CONAP. The spring release documents participation in these programs and provides assurances that the LEA will comply with legal requirements of each program. Program entitlements are determined by formulas contained in the laws that created the programs. The school will be requesting Title I federal funds. Title I is a federal categorical program contained in the consolidation application. Its purpose is to ensure that all children have a fair and equal opportunity to obtain high-quality education and reach proficiency on the state content standards and assessments. The intent of this funding is to meet the educational needs of low-achieving students enrolled in the highest poverty schools. We are recommending that the board approve the CONAP process and submission for all reports required for the school for the 21-22 school year.
Thank you. Any questions or comments from the board? Hearing none, may I hear a motion to approve action item 6J?
Frank Picasa, I make a motion to approve action item 6J.
Thank you.
Carter Beck, I'll second that.
Thank you. Further discussion? Roll call vote. Michael Adams is aye. Claudette Beck?
Aye.
Frank Picasa?
Aye.
And that passes with 3 yes votes. Item K. The board will be asked to renew a revolving line of credit, RLOC, from Omni Bank for the 2021-2022 school year as needed to maintain adequate cash flow pursuant to the RLOC provisions. And that's Gita Shreepy.
Thank you. Go ahead.
So in the prior years, the school has had the opportunity to obtain financing through Omni Bank that offers a line of credit at a low rate compared to other financing mechanisms. For example, the charter schools have access to sale receivables, which is, in that scenario, has a really high interest rate. This request has been approved by the board since fiscal year 18-19 and for fiscal year 21-22. The school is requesting the annual approval of $500,000 standard line of credit from Omni Bank. All board members have access to the up-to-date information on Omni Bank in this board packet. You can refer to it on page 33. The school is requesting the annual approval at the interest rate of 3.75%. Or prime rate plus 0.5%, whichever is higher. At this time, the interest rate is 3.75%. The renewal will have the same provisions. If there's any changes, we'll bring it back to the board for approval. That concludes my section. If there's any questions, I'll be happy to respond. Thank you.
Thank you. Any questions or comments from the board? Hearing none, may I hear a motion to approve action item 6K?
Frank Picasa, I make a motion to approve action item 6K.
Thank you.
Put it back, I'll second that.
Thank you. Any further discussion? Roll call vote. Michael Adams is aye. Claudette Beck?
Aye.
Frank Picasa?
Aye.
And that passes with 3 yes votes. Item L. The board will be asked to approve obtaining a loan from the LLAC during the 2021-2022 fiscal year as needed to maintain adequate cash flow pursuant to promissory note provisions and applicable interest. And that's Julie Parra and Gita Shreepy.
Yes, as you're aware, Lifelong Learning Administration Corporation offers short-term borrowing to support the school when necessary to maintain adequate cash flow. I'd like to ask Gita Shreepy to discuss the terms of the loan.
Thank you, Julie. Hello, board again. This is just another short-term financing alternative that the school uses to meet short-term cash needs. It's a low-interest alternative and allows the school to access additional funds if other financing sources are tapped out or are not available or sufficient to keep the financing for the school. The amount on the promissory note between the school and LLAC will be the maximum borrowing, regardless if a portion of the loan has been paid back. For fiscal year 2021-2022, the school is requesting approval
$250,000 from LLAC if necessary or required. The interest rate remains to be at 4%. You can find the template of the promissory note on the last four pages of your board packet, which starts on page 163. Again, this is just another alternative alternative financing for the school, and that will be used if necessary. So that concludes my report. If there's any questions, I'll be happy to respond.
Thank you. Thank you. Any questions or comments from the board? Hearing none, may I hear a motion to approve action item 6L.
Frank Fucasa, I make a motion to approve action item 6L.
Thank you.
Claudia Beck, I will second that.
Thank you. Any further discussion? Roll call vote. Michael Adams is aye. Claudette Beck?
Aye.
Frank Fucasa?
Aye.
And that passes with 3 yes votes. Moving on to item 7, additional corporate officers and board members' observations and comments. Mr. Brown.
Thank you, President Adams. I'm always amazed when we get to this time of year, our June report, how much diligence and hard work goes into making these happen. Superintendents do an awful lot for us, but Julie, you really did a wonderful presentation here of a lot of information, and I just want to congratulate you and your team and all others at Lifelong Learning that participated in providing us with this information. So I thank you so much, and we're going to look forward to the new year. So back to you, Mr. President.
Thank you. Any board members have observations or comments at this time?
Yeah, I'd like to thank Julie and Gita for giving us such great reports. I mean, there's so much work that goes into these. You know, I appreciate you guys every time I'm looking at these reports, so thank you.
Yeah, this is Frank Fucasa. I echo both Jeff and Claudette that the work that Julie and Gita put into this package is fantastic. A lot of information that went into this. So thank you. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Any other observations and comments? Hearing none, we'll move on to item 8, closing items. Item A, the next regular board meeting will be August 31st, 2021 at 12 noon. Please mark your calendars. And item B, adjourn the meeting. May I hear a motion to adjourn the meeting?
Frank Fucasa, I make a motion to adjourn the meeting.
Thank you.
Claudia Beck, I will second that.
Thank you. Any further discussion? Roll call vote. Michael Adams is aye. Claudette Beck?
Aye.
Frank Fucasa?
Aye.
That passes with 3 yes votes, and we are adjourned. Thank you, everyone. Great job.